Please turn with me now in your Bible to the book of Galatians. Paul's letter to the church is Galatia chapter 2, verses 15 to 21. We've been working our way together through the book of Galatians in a series that we're calling Good News for You, in which we want to explore together the good news of the gospel in the book of Galatians. Our passage this morning is from Galatians chapter 2, as we consider together living by faith. Again, our text this morning is from the book of Galatians chapter 2, beginning with verse 15. Let's hear God's word. We ourselves are Jews by birth and not Gentile sinners. Yet we know that a person is not justified by works of the law, but through faith in Jesus Christ. So we also have believed in Christ Jesus in order to be justified by faith in Christ and not by works of the law. Because by works of the law, no one will be justified. But if in our endeavor to be justified in Christ, we too are found to be sinners, is Christ then a servant of sin? Certainly not, for if I rebuild what I tore down, I prove myself to be a transgressor. For through the law, I died to the law, so that I might live to God. I have been crucified with Christ. It's no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me. And the life I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. I do not nullify the grace of God, for if righteousness were through the law, then Christ died for no purpose. The grass withers and the flower fades, but the word of our Lord shall stand forever. Let's pray together. Father in heaven, we bless you. You have given us good news to make our hearts sing, good news to lift us up, good news to encourage us, good news that we need to share far and wide. We pray this morning that we might hear afresh the good news of Jesus. Help us to hear it, receive it, believe it, and enjoy it. We pray, O Lord, your blessing on us as we consider your word together. For we do ask, we pray, in Jesus' name. Amen. How can I live the Christian life? How can you or I or anybody for that matter, how can anybody possibly live the Christian life? There is so much to do. There's so much that has to be done. And there's so many responsibilities. And there's so much to learn. And there's so much room to grow. And I mean, let's just say it. There's so much we do wrong. You know, we get frustrated. We get stressed out. We spend money we don't have. We say things we shouldn't say. I mean, the Christian life is hard. How can anybody possibly live the Christian life? This morning, I want to begin by reminding you of something you already know. Okay, or at least something I hope you already know, that we are justified by faith. Now, remember, to be justified is to be declared righteous. So I want to begin by reminding you this morning that you are declared righteous by faith. Look with me at our text this morning. Beginning with verse 15, Paul says, we ourselves are Jews by birth. He's talking about himself, of course, and he's talking about most of the early Christian church, because most of the early Christians were Jewish, which means they were descended from Abraham. They inherited all the traditions and the customs of the elders and the ceremonial washings and everything. It also means they had inherited the promises of God. They had the scriptures. They had the Ten Commandments. They were taught. They were raised to live for the Lord. They were taught to obey God. All that's included when Paul says, we ourselves are Jews by birth and not Gentile sinners. Of course, a Gentile is someone who's not Jewish. They're not descended from Abraham. They didn't inherit all the customs and traditions. And they didn't have the Bible. Gentiles were people who were not taught to obey the Lord growing up. And so Gentile culture was very, very immoral. And all sorts of immorality and prostitution was accepted and promoted in these Gentile lifestyle. And Paul is not afraid to point out that there are some legitimate religious and cultural differences between the two groups. You know, in our climate today, it's not considered politically correct to say, well, we are like this and they are like that. Paul's not afraid to say that, in part because that's what the Jewish Christians believed anyway. Okay? The people that Paul is writing to, they felt like those people out there, they are different. They have issues and problems that we don't normally have to deal with. If you were a Jewish Christian, it does seem like those Gentiles are just so different. And so Paul is not afraid to say, okay, I hear what you're saying. We ourselves are Jews by birth, and we're not like them. We're not Gentile sinners. But we know that a person is not justified by works of the law. Now remember, to be justified is to be declared righteous. Okay? And we all want that. I mean, you should want that. You want God to look on you and smile. You want God to look on you and be pleased. You want God to look at you and say, well done. Well done. You want God to look at you and say, you are righteous. That's what Paul means when he says justify. God looks at you and says, you're not guilty. You are righteous. Well done. I am pleased with you. Of course, you want God to look on you and be pleased with you. Paul says, okay, so we're Jewish. That's good. We have the Ten Commandments. That's good. We've been taught to obey God. That's good. But he says, well, we know that's not the way we get God's pleasure. It's not as if God looks at me and says, wow, Claude, you are just so good. I declare you righteous. That's not going to happen. Okay, God is not going to look at you and just say, wow, you are so righteous. I can't believe what a good person you are. Okay. God does look at us and he sees our good things. He sees our good deeds. God also sees the good things that we didn't do, that we haven't gotten around to yet. And he sees the things that we've done that weren't so good. And so God's not going to look at you and just look at your life and say, wow, you are just such a great, righteous person. Because none of us are that good. Now, it doesn't mean that God doesn't look on you and isn't pleased. God will look on you and be pleased. God will look on you and smile. He will look on you and say, well done. He will even look on you and say, you are righteous and I am well pleased with you. But Paul's point is you don't get there just by trying hard and doing good. He says, we know that a person is not justified by works of the law, but through faith in Jesus Christ. Paul goes on to say, by works of the law, no one will be justified. That means no one is so good that God will look at that person and just say, wow, you are just so righteous. The only person like that is Jesus. Jesus is the exception. God the Father looks at Jesus and he says, wow. Jesus has always lived in a way pleasing to the Lord. Jesus has always fulfilled God's will. Jesus has always fulfilled God's word. And when the Father looks on Jesus, he says, wow, you are righteous. If the Transfiguration, God the Father spoke from heaven and said, this is my beloved Son with whom I am well pleased. He's like saying, wow, look at Jesus. He is righteous. Jesus is the only one who can be declared righteous or justified by his own deeds. The only way you and I can be declared righteous is by his deeds. I think I was in middle school one time. I came into class and the teacher said we were having a pop quiz. I don't remember what the subject was, but I remember there was no way I was going to be able to pass this test. It was some subject we had just started. We'd only spent one day on it. There was no way I was going to be able to. I mean, I was a good student, but there was no way I could pass this test. No one in class could, except for one guy. There was one guy who was always reading ahead. He was always studying ahead. And he was probably the only one who had any possibility of passing this test. So the teacher gives us a choice. She says, you can take the quiz yourself and just take whatever grade you get. Or as a class, you can vote and you can choose one person to take the test for you. And whatever grade that person gets, everybody gets that grade. We were all like, oh, him. Okay? Because we knew there was no way we couldn't possibly pass this test, but he could. Well, that's what Paul is saying here. Paul is talking about you want God to be pleased with you. You want God to look on you and smile. You want God to look on you and say, oh, my beloved child, with you I am well pleased. You want to be justified. Well, Paul says, you can be justified. God can be pleased, but it's not by trusting in, man, I sure have been working hard this week. Boy, I've been good this week. It's not by trusting in your efforts, but by trusting in Jesus' efforts. It's not what you've been doing, but what Jesus has already done. Paul says, look, okay, we're Jewish. We know the Bible better than those people who didn't grow up. We've been taught to obey the Ten Commandments, but that's not the way we find salvation. He says, we know a person is not justified by works of the law, but through faith in Jesus Christ. So we also have believed in Christ Jesus in order to be justified by faith in Christ and not by works of the law. Because by works of the law, no one will be justified. Imagine a list of all the things you've ever done wrong. And yeah, we forget stuff like that. It's like you're cleaning out your basement and you come across old school papers. You know, a bad grade that you got way back in eighth grade. I forgot about that. Makes you sick in your stomach when you find it, you know. Or you find an old diary or an old journal you kept as a kid and all these awful things you said about your parents and your brother or your sister. You know, we forget the things we've done in life, the person we wouldn't forgive, the bitterness. God doesn't forget those things. Imagine a list of all the things you've ever done wrong. Not just a book, but volumes of books, small print of all the bitterness and the impure thoughts and the anger. Now imagine you take these volumes of all your guilt, all your garbage, and you give it to Jesus. That's why Jesus died on the cross. He didn't deserve to die on the cross. He wasn't guilty, but Jesus died on the cross to bear the weight of our guilt, our garbage, our sin. When God the Father looked on Jesus, Jesus took the guilt. He took the responsibility for all the stuff we've done wrong. Now imagine a book of all the things Jesus ever did right. A beautiful book. Not just with miracles, but Jesus' patience and his compassion and his loving his enemies and all the wonderful things Jesus ever did right. And imagine you give Jesus this pile, this nasty stuff you've done that you don't ever want to think about again, and he hands you the book of all the good things he's always done. And he takes the blame. He takes responsibility for all of your sin, and you get the credit for all the good things that Jesus has done. When you trust in Jesus, there's an exchange. There's a swap. And your guilt is exchanged for his righteousness. So that when God looks on Jesus on the cross, he sees your guilt, and that's why Jesus was punished and suffered on the cross. And now when the Father looks on you, if you're trusting in Jesus, he sees all the good things that Jesus has done. And so God looks on you in Jesus, and he says, well done, my beloved child. With you, I am well pleased. God looks on you in Jesus and says, you are righteous. You are righteous. And that's what Paul means when he says, you are justified. You are declared righteous. It's by faith. It's not something we have to earn. It's not something we have to figure out. It's not something we have to maintain. It's by trusting in Jesus. It's not the things we're doing. It's what Jesus has already done for us. And because of Jesus, God looks on you and he says, well done. He looks on you and he smiles. He looks on you and he is so pleased. He looks on you and he accepts you and he welcomes you. And he says, oh, my beloved child, with you I am well pleased. You are righteous. And that's what Paul means when he says you are justified by faith. Now, Paul says, listen, if that's the way you're saved, if that's the way we're forgiven, if that's the way we have a relationship with God, if we're declared righteous by faith, then he says, then live by faith. Verse 17. If in our endeavor to be justified in Christ, we too were found to be sinners, is Christ then a servant of sin? Certainly not. Paul is saying, okay, if you want to be pleasing to God, you have to begin by saying, okay, I'm sinful. I mean, if you don't believe that, you're never going to trust in Jesus because you're going to feel like you're good enough. So if you ever want to be pleasing to God, you have to begin by recognizing that you're sinful. Does that mean Jesus wants you to sin? Paul says, of course not. He just wants you to acknowledge that you're sinful. He doesn't want you to be sinful, but just to recognize that you are. Paul says, if I rebuild what I tore down, I prove myself to be a transgressor. If salvation really is free, if it really is a gift, and that's what we've been saying here, that the blessings and peace of God are completely free in Jesus Christ, if it really is free, there's always that fear that people will accept the free gift of salvation in Jesus and then fall back into old sin. And that's always a danger because we're still sinful. Paul says, but what does that prove? He says, it just proves what I said in the beginning, that we're sinful, and therefore the only way we can be declared righteous is by faith. You see, the concern among the Jewish Christians is that those Gentiles, if you tell them salvation's free, they'll come to know Jesus, but remember where they're from? Remember their background? Remember their baggage? They might fall back into that stuff. Wouldn't it be better to make them become Jewish? Wouldn't it be better to tell them that you got to learn our dietary laws and our ceremonial washings and our customs? Wouldn't it be better to make them be circumcised? Because if you tell them salvation is free and they believe it and they accept the peace and blessings of God for free, they might fall back into that immorality. It's true, they might. Because we all do that. We all fall back into sins at some time. Just happen to be different sins. The challenge with the Jewish believers was something different, which we'll look at in just a moment. Verse 19, Paul says, through the law, I died to the law. In other words, Paul is saying, having the Bible is great. Knowing the Ten Commandments is great. That doesn't make you better. He says, just the opposite. What does the Bible show me except that I'm not as good as I think I am? Okay? The Bible shows me that I deserve to die. That's what it shows. The penalty of sin is death. He says, the Bible shows me that I deserve to die, and so I've had to give up on this idea that maybe if I try harder, I'll be good enough. He says, I've died to that. Okay, the law shows us we deserve to die. We have to give up the idea that we can be good enough on our own. Paul says, for the law, I died to the law so I might live to God. Some people are always afraid that if you say salvation is free, that people are going to use that as an excuse to just disobey God. Paul says, no. The whole purpose is to live for God. The whole purpose is to be pleasing for God. And just trying hard enough won't get me there. If just trying hard to be good would make me pleasing to God, we would just do that. But that isn't enough, so we got to find another way to be pleasing to God. Paul says, the very reason that I died to the law is so I might live to God. That trusting Jesus is not a way to get out of pleasing God. It's the way to be pleasing to God. Trusting Jesus is the only way to please God. Just trying harder can actually make you worse. And if you don't believe me, try it this week. Just make up your mind, you're going to be better. You're going to grit your teeth and you're going to be a better person. And what you're going to find is that you will stress yourself out. You will try harder. You will try harder and you may make a little progress, but sooner or later you're going to say something you shouldn't say. Or you're going to think something you shouldn't say. And that's going to stress you out. And that's going to make you insecure, because if your relationship with God is depending on how you're doing and then you don't do so great, then you feel insecure. But you can't admit that. If my relationship with God depends on me being good, I sure can't admit I did something wrong. And so I've got to try to convince myself I'm better than I am. And now I've got to live in denial. And I become a fake and a phony. And one way that I feel better about myself is by putting other people down. And so now I'm becoming a hypocrite and a Pharisee. And I'm difficult to live with. And I'm prickly. And my efforts to just try to be good are making me worse and worse. That's what Paul used to be like. Paul was a very religious Jewish person. But his efforts to be good, he was on fire to try to follow all the traditions and all the rules, and it made him worse and worse and worse. If you're just trying to be a good person, you will make yourself crazy. Paul says, I gave that up. I died to that. I have been crucified with Christ. Okay? Just trying to be good, just trying to try a little harder is hoping that you can be good enough. And Paul says, I have quit believing in me. And I've started believing in Jesus. He says, I've come to the point where I've accepted that I'm not good enough. I deserve to be on the cross. That should have been me on the cross. That's what he's saying. I should have been me on the cross. And that when Jesus died on the cross, it wasn't because of his sin. It was because of mine. I should have been there. I deserve that. So he says, I've been crucified with Christ. He's died for my sins. And in doing that, I've died to believing in me. And I've begun believing in Jesus. I've stopped trusting in me. I trust in Jesus. It's no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me. When we trust in Christ, he lives in us by his Spirit to change us from the inside out. Again, it's not that you don't want to be pleasing to God. Of course you want to be pleasing to God. But how do you get there? If you're just trying to do it yourself, it's not going to work. The way we grow, the way we change is by trusting Jesus and trust him to do it. And when you trust in him, his Spirit lives in you. And his Spirit grows in you. And his Spirit changes you from the inside. When we're just trying ourselves, we can only work on the outside. But when you trust in Jesus, he works on the inside. It's not something you do just once. Well, I trusted Jesus a long time. You're always having to trust in Jesus. And as you're trusting in Jesus, he's growing you. He's working in you. He's changing you. Paul says, it's no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me. And the life I now live in the flesh. Okay. He's talking about daily life right now. When I get up in the morning, the life I live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. In other words, Paul is saying faith is not just the way you become a Christian. Hopefully you know that you become a believer by faith. You're saved by faith. You stop trusting in your own works and your deeds, and you trust in Jesus and what he's done. But Paul is saying, listen, faith isn't just the way you become a Christian. Faith is the way you live as a Christian. Too often we become a Christian by trusting in Jesus, and then somewhere along the line we fall back into the old way of just trying to do it yourself. You see, that was the problem of the Jewish Christians. They weren't likely to fall into immorality. They weren't raised that way. The Gentile Christians were likely to fall back in that. They weren't likely to fall in that. The danger of the Jewish Christians, which is the danger of many of us, is to fall back into just trying to do it yourself. As if it's just about your efforts and trying harder and beating yourself up. When a Christian falls back into immorality, it's obvious. Everybody can see it. All the red lights go off, and you know that's wrong. But when we fall back into just trying to do it ourselves, nobody sees it. Nobody knows it. It's much more subtle. But you're falling away from the very gospel that saved you. Let me ask you this. When you wake up in the morning, what is more important to you? The things you need to do today, or the things that Jesus has already done? What's foremost on your mind? All the things you got to accomplish this week, or all the things Christ has already accomplished for you? I understand that we all have things we have to do, but what's most important? Paul says, man, that old way of life of just trying to do this and then one thing and trying to get caught up. He says, I have died to that, and I live by faith in Jesus Christ who loves me and gave himself up for me. In other words, Paul is saying, this is how I begin my day. Jesus loves me and gave himself up for me. And that's true whether I get everything done on my list or not. I'm not saying that what you have to do isn't important. I've told you guys before, I have to make a list every day of what do I need to get done. But God's love is not dependent on how well I do on my list. You don't have to wait to the end of the day to find out, does God love me today? You begin the day, Jesus loves me and gave himself up for me. And that is true before you've done anything at all. And of course, you want to live for Jesus and you want to do your best. But you know what? There's nothing you can do to change the fact that Jesus loves you and gave himself up for you. Okay? Maybe you have a great day and you do really well. Or maybe you really blow it. It won't change the thing that Jesus loved you and gave himself up for you. I think that's at least in part what Paul means when he says, the life I live today, I don't live the old way. I live by faith. I begin my day remembering, you know what? God looks on me and he's pleased. Jesus loves me and gave his life for me. And Jesus Christ, God looks on me and he says, well done. Before I've started the day, before you've begun the week, before you've done anything on your list, God looks on you and he says, well done. Oh, my beloved child, with you I am well pleased. Isn't that at least part of what Paul means when he says, the life I live now, I live by faith. I live as one who's been redeemed, who is loved, who's accepted. I live by faith. And now, okay, Lord, what can I do today? How can I please you? How can I serve you today? But you don't do it as a slave, trying to get caught up, just trying to maybe be good enough. You do it as one who's already accepted and loved and declared righteous. When we fall back into acting as if it's just what we have to do in our own strength, it's acting as if Christ hasn't done anything for us. As if there's no grace. You know, remember, grace is the fact that God's blessings and peace are free. And when we fall back into just trying harder and trying to do it ourselves, when you're doing well, you become proud. When you're not doing well, you feel insecure and you feel guilty. But in either case, you're acting like Jesus hasn't died for you. You're acting like God's grace is nothing. And Paul says, I'm not going to do that. Our passage ends by, he says, I don't nullify the grace of God. If righteousness were through the law, if that's the way to please God, by just trying to be good, well, then he says, Christ died for no purpose. But Jesus did not die for no purpose. Jesus died so that God the Father would look on you and be pleased. That's why he died. Jesus died so that God would look on you and say, well done. Jesus died so that you might live with the blessings and peace of God for free. That's why Christ came. That's what grace is for. Don't nullify that. Don't act like you don't need that. Don't act like it's not important. It has happened. Christ has given his life. He died. He rose again. That you might enjoy the blessings and peace of God for free. That God might look on you in Jesus Christ and say, well done. Well done, my beloved child. You are righteous. With you, I am well pleased. Let's pray together. Father in heaven, we thank you for the good news of Jesus. We thank you for the free gift of your love, your acceptance, your blessing. We thank you that you delight in us in Jesus. Oh, we thank you, Lord, that you are not a hard taskmaster beating us down. And you don't want us to beat ourselves down. You want us to enjoy and glory in and live by all the wonderful things that Jesus has done for us. Thank you, Lord, for the reminder that the gospel is not all about us. And one more thing we have to do, it's about who Jesus is and everything he's already done for us. Lord, I pray, we pray together. Help us this week to live by faith. Help us to remember who we are in Jesus. Help us to remember that everything you've already done for us, that we're already forgiven, we're already accepted, we're already welcomed, we're already declared righteous, we are already justified. Help us to remember that. And help us to live our lives like that. Not as if we've got to somehow prove ourselves, but to live as people who are already loved, who are already accepted, who already have your smile and your blessing. Oh, Lord, help us to live by faith in Jesus who loves us and gave his life for us. We ask this, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen.
This is Pastor Claude Taylor. I'm glad you've just heard the broadcast of the weekly Sunday morning worship service of New Hope Presbyterian Church. New Hope Church is a Christ-centered, Bible-based church ministry where everyone is welcome. I invite you to join us in person for worship each Sunday at 10 a.m., followed by Sunday school for all ages. The church is located at the corner of Hitchener Avenue and Osborne Lane, in the neighborhood across from Bridgeton High School. If you need more information or wish to speak to me personally, please call 856-451-7644. That's 856-451-7644. This broadcast is a production of New Hope Presbyterian Church, a member of the Orthodox Presbyterian family of churches.